and wonderful you are in my darkest night. Oh, you brighten up the skies, a song will. You and me, who is enough? God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. All things new, I can start again. Creator God, you're calling me your friend. Oh, sing praise, my soul, to the maker of the skies. A soul will rise. I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near. Just to know you ain't alone is enough.
you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
You are good.
Out of me, oh, Jesus, bring new peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still call the sea to still, the raging sea to still, everywhere. At your name.
such a sweet anointing in this place. Just talk to him. Speak to him. Acknowledge that he's here. Hallelujah. God, we praise your name this morning. You're worthy of glory and you're worthy of honor. And we thank you for your presence today. Hallelujah. Say something, people of God. Speak to the Lord on today. He's here to meet every one of your needs. He came up to see about you. He's everywhere all the time. He didn't have to stop at here. But because he's God, and he's the true and living God, and because he loves us so much, and he gave his only son for not just me, but for every one of you. He hung, he bled, he died just for you. Speak to him. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we ask that you would help us to humble ourselves, open up our hearts to receive you today and the word that will come forth. God, we want to receive it in fertile ground. We don't want it to fall among thorns, but God, we want to receive in fertile ground what you have for us. God, help us to acknowledge you in all that we do. God, let us not use you for a plan B, but let's just always acknowledge you as the only plan in the name of Jesus. God, as we humble ourselves and consecrate, God, meet every single need of every single person in this congregation. God, minister to our spirits and show us what we need to do, that revival would not just come into land, but begin first in us. In the name of Jesus, God, we worship you because you deserve it. You are worthy. Hallelujah. We bless your name today. We honor you. We love you, God. And we thank you for being the God of so many chances, because we needed every one of them. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. You may be seated. Whew. I don't know about y'all, but this time of fasting has been such a blessing. Such a blessing. And I encourage you to take this time serious and to seek God like you never have before, because there's so many things that he wants to do in us, but most importantly, through us. It's a dying world out there that needs what you have and what I have. And God has equipped us to meet those needs. So I encourage you to please take this time of consecration seriously. It's so sacred. I can't even do the normal stuff I usually do. And I'm grateful to God for that. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. Well, it's offering time. And there are many ways that you can give. You can give through the app, or you can give online, or you can come right out to the front and place your offering. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey guys, I made it back from my meeting with the king. I'm pretty sure I see some new faces out there. Some people I don't remember from before. So you guys are probably wondering what we're doing here. Well, we are on a special mission from the king, King Lionheart. We are trying to find the source of his bravery. Do you guys remember? I told you that King Lionheart was brave once, but he lost his bravery. The king gave me this map, and it contains the location of clues that will help the king remember how to be brave. Last week, we found out the first clue. So, I came back to pick you guys up so that we could continue on our mission. Let's see. Let me check the map. Let's find out where the second clue is. Okay, guys, I think I know where we've got to go. There it is over there. The clue, according to the map, is just across that river. All we've got to do is get to the other side, and we'll have the second clue for the king.
Guys, I see a little problem here.
Man, it looks like the Evil One's soldiers beat us to the punch again. They've cut the ropes for the bridge. We've got to do some real thinking here to figure out how we're going to get to that next clue. I know. Let me check the bag. Remember, guys, I told you I've got all kinds of things in my bag to help us along the way. Let's see what I can find. This might work. Back at the king's palace, when I was there one day, I met this guy. His name was Da Vinci. He was making all kinds of crazy inventions. He had all kinds of things that would fly, and he let me have this set of wings. I know what we can do. We can just strap on the wings, and then we can just fly right across to the other side. It's no problem. Birds do it all the time. Okay, let me get ready. All right, guys, what do you think? I mean, I think it's pretty good. I think this could work. So, what I'm gonna do, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna test it out first, okay? And then if I make it, then you guys know everything's okay. And you can just reach in the bag. I've got plenty more wings in here. You can just strap some on and you can come after me, okay? All right, guys, here we go. Give me a countdown, and I'm going for it. 3, 2, 1. It's working, guys. I think I'm flying. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not flying. I'm not flying. I'm not flying. I'm not flying.
Man, guys. That didn't work out so well.
Am I missing some teeth? Okay. Forget about the wings. That was not a good idea. What's wrong with that Da Vinci guy? Man, he sold me some defective equipment.
All right, let's think about this. We've got to come up with a real way to get across that river. Maybe if I use something that I'm good at, maybe then I can make it across. What do you think? Let me check the bag one more time. Let's see if there's something else in here that maybe I can use.
Oh, yes, this really might work. Here, I have a rope. And what you guys don't realize is I'm a world champion lassoer. All right, guys, I've got the lasso ready. Here we go. Ready? Count down again. In 3, 2, 1. Ha! And I got it. And we got it. Check it out. Man, it's secure. It's tight. Let me tie off this other end. And then we'll have the perfect rope to walk right across. Okay, guys. Now, we just have to keep our balance on the rope. Just go one step at a time. We're gonna make it. Whoa. We made it! We're on the other side! Man, that was intense, guys. But we are here. We are brave. And we have made it to the other side of the river. You guys look around. Let me see, can we find the second clue? Yes! I see it right behind this bush! Got it! All right, let's check out the second clue to finding the king's bravery. Man, I don't know what it's gonna say. Wow. Man, guys, this clue says God uses my gifts. God uses my gifts. I don't know what that has to do with being brave. What do you think? Man, this clue must mean that God is going to use our gifts, use the things that He gave us to help us conquer difficult situations. So if we're worried and we're scared, we can be brave because God has given us something to overcome whatever situation we're in. Man, I've got to get this message back to the king. Since you guys did such a great job crossing the river with me, I'm just going to let you hang out right here, and I'll come back in a few days to pick you up, and we'll be off to find the third clue. And remember, guys, if you're out here and you're afraid, think about all the things that God has made you good at, and think about how you can use those gifts to overcome any obstacle in your way and bring glory to God. See you in a few days.
Welcome to our second week of the series, Brave. This week, the question is, what is the gift, what is your favorite gift that you've ever received? And we're not referring to as, you know, a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. We're kind of referring to the gift that God has given you. We'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it's a story of David and Goliath. Goliath was with the Philistines, and David was with God's people, the Israelites. And Goliath was this 9-foot-tall giant that, you know, no one wants to battle. No one wanted to fight him. Everyone was so nervous anytime Goliath even tried to come. And we had David, which is not as strong, not as big, but he had faith of a giant. David's father one day asked him to take food to his brothers that were with the Israelites. And David heard about what was going on with Goliath. And, you know, David was just like, well, I'll do it. You know, I might not be the biggest or the strongest, but give me a try. And I'm pretty sure Saul and everyone else was just like, David, no, you cannot. You know, look at Goliath. He's huge. He's a giant. You're not going to make it towards him. But David, as he said, you know, I'm a shepherd. And I've wrestled and I've killed lions and bears with my bare hand. I can do this. I have the faith of God. Goliath may have weapons, but I come in the name of the Lord. And as David approached Goliath, of course, as any battle, they're going to go towards each other. There's going to be, you know, bad words and all this. But I'm pretty sure Goliath was just like, oh, this is a joke. He can't do anything to me. I'm huge. I'm a giant. And all he saw was just simple old little David. So David got his slingshot, and David got his stones, and David knocked Goliath slam out. Was nothing that Goliath could do. He was gone. Mainly that story, it kind of tells us about using the gifts that God give us. Regardless of what the world says, you got to know what God has in store for you. You got to know the gifts that God has for you and how he can help you use them. And that helps you become brave and, you know, and have, it encourages you. So today I want to show you that I have just a plain bottle of water with liquid in it and a balloon. And of course you're gonna say, oh no, that can't blow that balloon up. But just as God sees something special in us, I know that it's something special in this balloon that'll help it blow right on up. And that just states that even though from the outside in you see just plain old bottle, plain old liquid, plain old balloon, oh, there's nothing, you know, special. It's impossible for that to happen. But yet we know what God has in store for us, and he can make the impossible possible. Can we pray? Lord, thank you for blessing us to just be here today. Lord, thank you for giving us amazing gifts that we use to do your work, Father. Father, we pray that if we don't know what our gifts are, you can help us discover them, God. God, use us in mighty ways. Let it be less of us and more of you, Lord. Lord, thank you for just being who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Kaisha. Shout out to Gary and Miranda, who are a little bit of a vacay this time. Come on, say hello to them today. Amen. You know they're watching us to see what we're doing, right? Hey, every time I go on vacation, I always want to see what's happening at the church. Well, when's the last time I took a vacation? Wow. We need to talk, Joy. Okay. Amen. Well, we do appreciate the ministry to the kids. And for parents or folks who are watching and wondering, you know, when are we going to open back our kids' ministry? We're talking about that presently. And when we do, we're specifically going to target the younger ages. So just be mindful of that. We're praying about it. We're talking about it. We're going to meet with leaders about it here in just a little bit. And we'll keep you informed. I appreciate those of you who are coming. You know, we do everything that we can to make it a safe atmosphere. We have two purification systems running in the sanctuary here. You might can smell a little bit of it. And we offer sanitation. We offer masks for those of you who feel more comfortable with that. But you know what? Even in my times of prayer and everything this week, I've just, you know, been trying to hear God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just trying to fast and pray and hear what the Lord is saying. And you know, I get a deep sense of peace in my spirit that God has this thing under control. He really does. He does. It hasn't caught him by surprise. And you know, if we're not careful, the church will be lulled to sleep in the process. And over and over and over again, this past week as I'm reading the word, I find many times that I ran across places where God's people assembled. The people of God assembled together. Hebrews tells us that that's something we shouldn't forsake. Amen? In fact, it says, even more so as you see the day approaching. That means if the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, somebody help me here, the more, somebody say, the more we should be assembling. Amen? And so I applaud you guys who are here, and I encourage those of you who are watching to take your precautions, and I know that you have to do what you feel is comfortable for you. Take your precautions, but do your very best to make church a priority. We don't have a problem with Walmart, no problem with Food Lion, you know, no problem at all. You go to Walmart today, I guarantee you right now they're busy, okay? We don't have a problem with that, but in many cases, people have forsaken the church. And most pastors that you talk to are running about the same thing. Well, we got 25 or 30% back. You look around this morning, there's empty places here. There's a lot of people who haven't come back to church. And guess what? There's a lot of people who are not coming back to church. This is a serious thing. There, I believe with all my heart that we're going to experience a falling away in this day where people are not just going to forsake the church, they're going to forsake their walk with God. And so you have to be mindful and prayerful during this season. Let's just pray right now before we begin the word today. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today with a sense of tremendous gratitude and thankfulness, Lord. Thank you, God, for keeping us. Thank you for keeping your people, sustaining your people. I speak blessing and peace upon all those who are hearing me now, God. I pray that you would give guidance and leadership. Help us, God, to prioritize our lives in such a way that we're the fulfillment of Matthew 6:33, that we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and then we trust you for all the rest. And God, we give you praise and honor. Help us, God, as we walk as a ministry through this season of 40 days of fasting and praying, would you clarify for us, God, your divine will, your perfect will for us as a body? Would you speak to us clearly, God? And Father, individually, would you speak to our hearts? Father, help us as we continue in our series today, Transformational Living. Help us, God, to hear you clearly. And we'll be thankful to praise you. We'll be careful and thankful to praise you, Lord, and give you the honor and the glory that is due your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise today. Come on. Hallelujah. So glad to see you. If you haven't joined us, it's not too late to jump on board with the time of fasting and consecration. CSIC40days.com. Check it out. I appreciate the many of you that have signed up. We've been sending emails. How many of you got a little email back to you in this past week? Amen. I appreciate those of you who signed up. And I guess we have some 35 people online that have signed up and committed, saying, Pastor, I'm in. And I know some people have committed to fasting, and maybe you don't do the internet thing, don't do the website thing. But I just encourage you, be faithful to that. You know, you should be okay by now. Once you get past 2 and 3, you're home free, man. You get past 2 and 3 days, you're home free. You can do this. I've encouraged people online this week. You can do this. You can do this. God is going to speak to you. And remember, fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes you. It changes you and allows you to see God the way you should have seen him all along. Amen. So the fast that we've chosen looses the bonds of wickedness, lets the oppressed go free, and breaks every yoke of bondage. If you're looking for some bondage to be broken in your life, sacrifice some meals, some preferences, and watch God do incredible things in your spiritual man. Amen. Today, I want to continue a series, Transformational Living. This is the fourth message, if you're keeping up with me on this. This is the fourth message that we've spoken to you on transformational living. Today, I've titled a message, Manning the Fire and Maintaining the Walk. Manning the Fire and Maintaining the Walk. Romans chapter 12, we're hanging out in Romans here for the past few messages and for the next few. Romans 12, verses 11 and 12 today, where it simply says this, never be lacking in zeal. I love the short, succinct phrases and things that, inspired of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul uses here to speak to our hearts, to pierce our hearts, and to call us to a place of devotion to him. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And then very clearly, verse 12, be joyful in hope. When I read this, I slow down because I don't want to just swallow this all at one time. Be joyful in hope. Just kind of take that in. Be patient in affliction. Because guess what? You're going to have affliction. You're in affliction right now. Amen? And he calls for what in this time of affliction? Patience. Don't get in a hurry. Try to slow down and smell the coffee. Try to slow down and hear the voice of God in this challenging time. Be patient in your affliction and be faithful in prayer. Let's backtrack. Message one, I spoke to you. In message one, I spoke to you about the total transformation. Remember, he says in that opening passage of Romans 12 that we're to not what? Be conformed to the pattern of this world. Remember that message? Don't be conformed to the pattern, but be transformed. In the Greek language here, there's a play on words. The word there in the original language is metamorpho. We get our modern day metamorphosis word out of that for you science people. He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, you don't renew your mind on CNN, and you don't renew your mind on Fox News, okay? You don't renew your mind with the Young and the Restless. Come on. You don't renew your mind on HBO. You don't do that. You renew your mind by the Word of God. That's how you renew your mind. You renew your mind through consecrating yourself in prayer. You renew your mind by hanging around people of like precious faith. You renew your mind. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There's times when I have to, and I've done this for the last several months, I've just had to turn the news loose. Amen? Just turn it loose. Just listen enough to know what's going on. Kind of get your fingers on the pulse of this world and be informed, but not be influenced. Can I say that one more time? Be informed, but not be influenced. Because I'm telling you something, that crowd will discourage you. Oh, that won't big enough. I said, that crowd will discourage you. That crowd will pull you down. That crowd will paint a picture for you of gloom and doom. Amen? But the Word of God is sure. It's a sure foundation. Amen? I'm as encouraged right now as I've ever been. You say, Pastor, what in the world? How could you be encouraged with what's going on right now? Listen, I'm not in control. I'm not in control at all. But I know who is in control, and I can trust him. And I've talked to pastors every day of my life. I talk to other Christian leaders, some of which are very concerned, some of which are very stressed and even depressed about this whole situation. Yes, there are some times that I go through that I think, God, what in the world are you doing? What is going on here? But you know what? I had no idea. I had no idea that the things that I've preached all of my life for some 40 years of ministry now, I had no idea that I would get to be alive and well in the last scenes of this play. I really did not. I didn't have any idea that I would see unfolding in front of my very eyes the things that I see unfolding today. But guess what? I've read the back of the book, and you know what? We win. We really do. We win. We're declared victors all the way through. God is in control. He really is. He's in control. So in that first message, we were called to live not conforming to the pattern of this world, not everything that comes down the pike there on the TV, on the tube, but live a transformed life. The result of that is a body, somebody say body, is a body that is given to God for worship, showing him his value and his worth in every possible way. This teaching's so good, I'm enjoying it. Come on, somebody. I'm enjoying it because it's feeding my spirit. God called us in that first message to a life of transformation. Secondly, second message, we gave ourselves to that specific area that God had gifted us in. That's exactly what the kids' message was talking about this morning. Those special giftings, those special abilities that God has given us. And in that message, we were called to a place of releasing those gifts. If your gift is prophesying, then what must you be doing? Then speaking prophetically as you go through your life each and every day. If your gift is serving, then you should serve. Amen? This is not time because of the COVID-19 situation to just back up and say, well, you know, I used to volunteer at the church. No, it's time to say, well, you know what? I've never volunteered, but Pastor said we should be serving, so I want to serve. I want to give of myself in some way to offer my giftings and my abilities to the church and to his kingdom. If your gift is contributing, write the check, CSIC, $1,000, whatever God lays on your heart. If your gift is giving, by all means, what should you do? Give. Amen? You don't have a problem writing a check at Walmart. You don't have a problem going to Sam's Club and spending a couple of $100. Why don't you make sure that you're at least tithing and then stretch yourself and say, hey, during this season of unprecedented challenges, I want to do more than what I've normally done. I want to give a blessing to the church. Come on, somebody. Amen me on that. Amen? Come on now. We should be giving if our gift is giving, contributing. If it's teaching, let us teach. How many of you would say Kaisha did a splendid job this morning? Come on. If your gift is teaching, you thought she was a singer, right? Yeah, but she's a teacher also. Amen. So she just reached inside and said, okay, God, here I am. I'm scared to death. That's what I said this morning when I got to church. Okay, God, here I am. I'm scared to death again, but I trust you are going to help me through this process. I know my mom says to me sometimes, she says, oh, son, she said, you look like when you're preaching, you're just so relaxed. You're just having a good time like it's just second nature. Let me tell you something. Every week of my life is a hardship. Because I know that come Sunday, I have a responsibility to take this microphone in my hand, and I'm responsible to feed the sheep that God has trusted to my care. That's a tremendous responsibility. Pastoring is tough enough without COVID-19. It has become even more difficult. You should be praying for pastors everywhere. Amen? Because listen, if pastors are now they're on the bullseye more than any time that I've ever known. Well, he thinks that we shouldn't wear a mask. Well, he says if you ain't wearing a mask, you ain't coming in the building. What do? You can't do anything right. You can't say anything right. Whatever you say, people will use against you. Amen? Whatever you say. You ever heard the world say, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't? That's what pastoral life is like right now. Y'all mighty quiet here. He used the D word. It's the truth. You want the truth? It's the truth. And so you and I must pray for pastors. Pray for those God-called people who are trusted now in a most unusual time to lead God's people. Third message, we were called to love. Called to love. Above all, loving how? Sincerely. Above all, loving, here we go, loving others above yourself. Amen? Loving others above yourself. I got a chance to do this yesterday. Those of you who are on Facebook saw that my wife and I took a brave trip yesterday on kayaks. Come on. Amen? We went kayaking. Well, when we got down there, everybody's kayaking. There's only a couple of kayaks left. Amen? So we're looking at the kayaks, and I look at them, and I thought, some rough-looking boats. One of them was really bad, okay? One of them was not the kind of boat you would want to get on. So I just turned to my wife, and I said, well, which one you want? I knew which one I wanted, okay? I wanted the good boat. Come on, somebody. I said, which one do you want? And she, not really knowing much about boats and kayaks, she said, she gave me the wrong answer. It doesn't matter. And I thought, oh, my God, that's not the answer I wanted. I wanted her to say, I want the green one. But I said, really, it doesn't matter. Which one do you want, honey? And she wouldn't say. So you know what I had to do? I had to love others above myself. So I said, Joy, why don't you take that orange one, and I'll take the green one. And inside, it was ripping my heart out. I mean, I don't want to ride this green boat. And sure enough, I turned over. Come on. It was a bad boat. It didn't even have any backrest on it. It was all to pieces. And she gets in the boat. And I'm up there fighting for all I'm worth trying to paddle. And she's about 3 boat lengths ahead of me the whole time. Why? Because she had a good boat. Okay? But guess what I'm called to do? Here we go. Love others above myself, especially when it comes to my wife. The true test of most of these things happens where? At home. Amen? I'm called to love her above myself. So, you know, you get walking that walk, you get transformed and on fire for the things of God, you get influential and anointed by God, by His Spirit, you get plugged in and engaged to what God has uniquely gifted you and anointed you to do, and you just sincerely keep walking that walk out for the Lord. And God wants to remind us today that that walk, here we go, has to be maintained, it has to be manned. You are responsible for your walk with God, not me, okay? Some people look at churches, well, you know, I go to church on Sunday so I can get my soul fed. You know, my job here is to instruct, encourage, and teach you. But my job is not to, you know, take your hand and drag you through trials and tribulations, okay? I got enough of my own, honey, okay? So my job is to inspire you. My job is to take the word of God and encourage and equip you so that you can handle this thing on your own. It's like a cheerleading session. When you come to church, you should be encouraged. You should walk out of these doors every service that we had, number one, encouraged and built up. And number two, you should walk out saying, okay, devil, try me now, okay? Go ahead and throw your darts at me now. Okay, why? Because you come in here in the presence of God's loving people and you get encouraged in your faith and you sing the songs of Zion and you lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and you enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You should be a force to be reckoned with when you leave this place. And some of y'all still sit there like a bump on a log. Ain't raised your hand in a year. What's wrong with you? We should come in. We should never have to ask you. Come on, let something come from your mouth. Susan was pushing you with everything she had this morning. Come on, folks, acknowledge God. You know what she was saying? You're not looking like what I feel. Amen? You're not looking like what I feel. She was trying to invite you into a passion that she was sensing in her own heart and spirit. Amen? And so that's what our position and our posture is when we come to the house of the Lord, to encourage you. To inspire you, to say, hey, come along with me. I'm the leader here. Come along with me. Listen, the church ain't going no farther than the leaders. Now, let me speak to leaders here for a second. If you lead anything in this church, The church is going no farther than you are as a leader. If you're not on fire, don't expect the church to be on fire. If you're not a praying person, don't expect the church to be praying persons. If you're not fasting and seeking God for 40 days, then don't be surprised if others don't sign up for it either. Amen. Leaders lead. Amen. I like what Dr. Courtney McBeck said. If you're not the leader, the lead dog sees new things. If you're not the leader, the scenery never changes. You're just looking at somebody's behind the end all the time. Amen. So move out, hit the passing signal and pull out into the lane and adventure in the faith and adventure in the spirit and see some fresh things that maybe your pastor's not seeing right now. You can have all you want. You need to keep your spiritual fervor. You can have all that you want of God. Amen. You got to man this thing. You got to manage this thing. It has to be made. You have to be to conform to the will of God for your life. The transformed life will, if you're not careful, you'll start to conform to the world rather than be transformed. That's why you have to man it, okay? Any of y'all ever dealt with fire? I did a little fire this week. I had, you know, I wasn't the person who got overlooked when it comes to limbs in the yard and broken trees and stuff like that. We had our share of them. So I spent one whole day just cleaning up the yard. My chainsaw wouldn't start. So guess what? Did I just say, well, I'd clean it up, but the chainsaw's broke? No. I pulled out the old one that didn't take any gas. And I pushed that thing, man, hundreds of times back and forth. And I sawed limbs off, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches around with an old-fashioned saw. Now, the easiest thing for me to do would say, hey, I got a credit card. I'll just run into town and buy me a new saw. That ain't smart. That's stupid. How many times are you going to use it? Once. How many times do you have a hurricane? Once a year, maybe. Once every 2 or 3 years. I don't need a new chainsaw. I just need the other one fixed, but I don't have time for that. I got to get the limbs up. So what are you going to do? You're going to keep your fervor here and just jump on this thing with an old-fashioned saw, a handsaw, and that's what I did. And then I drug them limbs down to the burn pile and set them on fire. Whoosh! I poured gas all the way around it. I know that's not the smartest thing to do. But I poured gas all the way around that pile, you know, and I had everything, and I just took a match and whoosh! I love fireworks. That thing just, boom, took off. And it burned and it burned and it burned and it burned all day. It burned and it burned and it burned all day. And it got rid of everything that was there that was considered trash and rubbish. You know, God is calling us to keep the fire. He's calling us to keep the fire. Look at what he says in verse 11. Never be lacking in your what? In your zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Why do you possibly think that the Holy Spirit would release this command so quickly from the apostle? What would it be that would so quickly eat away the transformation that he talked about that took place in his life, that took place in your life and in my life? What could possibly eat away that transformation? Well, the answer is quite easy. In the last message, we focused on verse 9 and 10, where Paul calls for us who are living a transformed life to love others above ourselves, to go by the way of love, not just to love sincerely, but, you know, take the back seat, don't grab the front seat. Give them the best bread, you eat the heel. How many of y'all know what the heel is? Give them the best bread, you eat the heel. We drink water, you can have the Pepsi, okay? I'm telling you, when you start to walk in agape love, when you start to walk in a sacrificial love, a love that places other people above you, when you start to walk in that, your flesh will rise up and you'll start getting short. You'll start saying, she drank all the Pepsi. You'll start getting short. You're thinking, you know what? I see how she is. She's going to come and consume everything we got and then leave nothing for us. If you're not careful, flesh will start to creep in. And so you have to encourage yourself. You have to keep that fervor. He says here, never be lacking in zeal. Just a short phrase, never be lacking in zeal. It's interesting here as I broke this down. In the King James, this passage, it says, not slothful in business. Now, wait a minute. On one hand, never be lacking in zeal, but in the King James, not slothful in business. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about kingdom business. The word slothful in the original language, it translates sluggish. It translates being backwards. Don't be sluggish and backwards in your transformed life. Listen, you got a hold of the fire. You got a hold of the love of God. You got a hold of the transformed life. Keep that pace. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't be sluggish in your kingdom walk. Don't be sluggish in maintaining your walk with God. Keep yourself on the front row here. I like the Phillips translation. Get your tail up and get busy, okay? I like that translation. Get your tail up and get busy. Go about the work of the kingdom. Don't lay down and just do nothing. Do something for God. Don't just lay down and not read your Bible. Don't listen. Don't go through life and just listen to all kind of ungodly things. Turn the worship on. You know what? My wife and I yesterday, and this is normal for us on a Saturday, we like to sleep late on Saturday. We're talking 7 a.m. Amen? We like to sleep late. That's late. And we sleep late on Saturday. And then guess what? Whoever's up first, they grab the coffee, okay? I'm not talking about Maxwell House. That stuff's not allowed in my house. I'm not talking about Folgers. That stuff's not allowed. I'm talking about real coffee from the Pacific Northwest. I'm talking about real good beans. And we get in there and we grind those beans. And we put them in the coffee maker. And the whole house is the aroma of fresh coffee. And on Saturday mornings, we just sit around in our pajamas watching worship. Huh? What do you mean? Turn the YouTube channel on. Elevation. Turn the YouTube channel on. Bethel Church. Turn the YouTube channel on. Hillsong. And we just watch worship song after worship song. We just sit there drinking coffee and worshiping God. We did this for 3 or 4 hours every Saturday morning. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. You know why? Because that's what we enjoy. That's what we enjoy. Just sitting there in each other's presence. Just sitting there in God's presence. Just sitting there sipping the best beans this earth has to offer. Just sitting there. And then after a while, 2 or 3 hours pass by, we'll just pop that question. Well, what you want to do today, okay? I mean, it is 11 o'clock, okay? What you want to do today? How about we go kayaking? That's cool. Let's just go kayaking then. So we take a Saturday. You know what that is for us? It's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath. Sunday's not a Sabbath for me. I'm working like a dog trying to encourage you. Okay? Saturday's a Sabbath for me. We protect that. We try to honor that, protect that for each other and for God. And so we usually end up getting up and, you know, preparing ourselves and going and doing something that's relaxing or something like that. And what are you doing? I'm not sluggish in my kingdom business. I'm not, well, if you really did what God wanted you to, you'd get up on Saturday morning and read the Bible for 2 or 3 hours. No, I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. I'm spending time with my wife that God gave me. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. I'm having coffee with her. I'm going off with her somewhere to enjoy something. I'm going to a restaurant and sit down and eat together, okay? And so I'm inspiring and encouraging myself. Come on now. I'm talking about never be lacking in your zeal. Never be lacking in your kingdom business. Don't be sluggish and backwards. Get busy doing something. And for you to do this, you have to have some alone time. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says that Jesus often removed himself to lonely places and drank coffee. Jesus often withdrew himself to lonely places and prayed. And kayaked, and coffee drank, whatever he needed to do. Jesus would get alone and encourage himself. And if Jesus needed it, guess what? So do I. If the very Son of God needed this time alone with the Father, then so do I. Don't be careless. Don't be slothful in the business of the kingdom. Don't be sluggish and backwards in the business of the kingdom. What is that zeal? It's the business, the kingdom of the Lord. Paul's saying, don't you be sluggish in your diligence. Don't you be sluggish in your accomplishments. Don't you be sluggish in your promotion of everything about my kingdom. Paul is calling for you and I to be transformed and make sure we, here we go, stay transformed. Amen? So how many of you know it's so easy to fall off the wagon? Anybody ever fallen off the wagon besides me? Come on. It's easy to fall off the wagon. It's easy to just kind of let those good spiritual habits escape you from time to time. It's easy just to miss a few services. That's why I'm really concerned. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the church a whole lot. You know why? Because I'm concerned. Because the longer you stay home, the easier it will be. Come on. The longer you disengage from collective gathering with God's people, the easier for you it will be. You'll just say, well, you know, I just pull it up, CSIC page. I just pull it up on the phone. You can pull it up on the phone all you want to, and we're glad that you do. But there's no replacement for coming together and experiencing the presence and the power of God with God's people in the same facility. Come on. No replacement. And you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I know one thing. They're trying to silence the church. They're trying to control the church. They're trying to shut the church up, shut the church down. But I can tell you something. I'm going to stand, okay? I'm going to stand. Paul said all you got to do is stand. And after you've done everything you can to stand, you stand therefore with your loins girded about with truth. The truth of the matter is that God wants his people worshiping together. Amen? And the thing that concerns me most about this is the fear piece. People are afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not. Have courage. Take courage. Be strong in your faith. God is going to watch over you. I had a brother yesterday just hit me up on an instant message right quick. I said, hey, man, we've been missing you. He said, yeah, I'm really struggling in my faith. Just right back like that. Hey, I'm really struggling in my faith. I said, how so? I'm just sharing my conversation. No names called. How so? He said, the virus. I said, talk to me about it. And we engaged in conversation back and forth. And the last words he said to me were, I'll see you next Sunday. Listen, there are lots of people, hear me, church, there are lots of people that you know because you used to sit next to them. And they're sitting home. Some haven't graced the doors of the church since March. And they're sitting home. And it would help if you would just ring the phone or send them a text or reach out to them and say, hey, we miss you. Y'all having church? Well, yes, we are. And encourage people to get to the house of God. We're having revival this month. 4 nights in a row, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll get the word out to you on social media this week. Revival in the midst of all this? Why? Why not? Why should we think that God's shut down? Why should we think that revival's not possible? No, now is the greatest opportunity for the church to be revived than she's ever seen in a long time. Why? Because people are desperate for hope and desperate for faith and desperate for peace in their lives. Now's the time to turn the fire up and say, okay, God, do what you would do in our midst. Save the lost. Fill people with the Spirit. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Do whatever you have to do, God. Move in our midst. We need revival. The natural thing to do sometimes is nothing. But God's called us not just the natural, God's called us to the supernatural. In our walk with God, sometimes we fall into nothingness, and we're called to move out of nothingness and have some zeal for the things of God, to love people, to serve people, to give to people, to teach people, to show mercy to people. And that, you know, that will zap you. That will take your zeal right there, just serving people. How many of you worked out here for 3 Wednesdays last month just giving food away? You came out and volunteered. Folk can be ugly, can't they? They can. And they'll take what fire you have and they'll throw water on it. They'll treat you ugly. They'll say things back to you. They'll respond in a way that they shouldn't respond. You know, people, listen. We had power lunch for about 9 years here. Every week of my life, power lunch. We were working our fingers to the bone with volunteers that would come here every week and prepare a great meal. How many of you had a power lunch before? It wasn't a sandwich shoved in a bag with a banana. Come on. It was a meal, a home-cooked meal. with great meats, great vegetables, great desserts. And every Wednesday morning, Carpenter Shop Church, what y'all serving today? Carpenter Shop Church, what y'all got for lunch? Every week. Because people don't care. People are people. They don't care. Oh, what you having? Oh, no. What you having next week? And you want to say, you know what? Get behind me, Satan, okay? We're having possum sandwiches. Why don't you come and eat one, okay? But you know what? I never said that. I never said that. I said, well, let me see. Let me look on the thing. Oh, yeah, next week we're having pork chops. Well, I'll see you next week. Okay, God bless you. Then I hang the phone up and say, get behind me, Satan. Because that's exactly what it was. It was the devil trying to use somebody else to steal my joy, to rob me, and to minimize the zeal that I had in my life for what I was doing. Take away, right? Trying to take away from the supernatural. Listen, serving people is tough. Moses said, Lord, why don't you strike these people? Okay, I'm tired of them. Just strike them. But you know what? God called Moses to be a leader. And God's called some of you to be leaders. You know what? You need to lead. You need, if you don't do nothing but lead one person at the time, maybe you're not called to be a senior pastor. Maybe you're not called to be an associate pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but he's called you to lead somebody. Amen. Lead the people that God has placed in your life for you to lead, and lead them well. And don't let your leading them turn backwards and rob you of the blessings that God intended for you to have. Amen. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Notice he says that your spiritual fervor is something that you should maintain. You should manage it. It's not, you know, that's why some of us, listen, some of y'all come in here, I'm just being honest with you, some of y'all come in here and the whole time during worship, you just stand there. And you might see the words on the screen and you might sing a little bit of them. And you just kind of gaze around at other people. I wonder why she's acting like that. Well, if you would just engage yourself and take those words and let those words get into your spirit and let those words in your spirit transform your nature and begin to exercise some worship to the Lord, you would walk out of here differently than you came, okay? And so if everybody would engage themselves in worship, can I just tell you something? Revival would be no question. People would be encouraged. People would be, man, they'd just be high-fiving in the spirit all over this place. Folk laying down on the floor, some crying, some screaming. You say, Pastor, some running. You say, Pastor, is that what you want? Absolutely. I'd love to see the thing come unglued and see God do incredible things. And if you and I will just take the position of taking care of our own spiritual walk and keep our spiritual fervor, then we could be a part of that. We could be a catalyst for that. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's what Paul said to the Colossians. You have to make sure that whatever you do it wholeheartedly to God. Colossians chapter 3. There's three verses here, 17, 23, and 24. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, I'm thinking about power lunch here, whatever you do in word or in deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you're giving away cases of produce here on the church parking lot, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not those trifling men, okay? You have to do it for the Lord. You can't get your eyes on men and how they act. He said, verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. Whatever you do, kids' church, backline, running a piece of equipment, serving on the worship team, whatever you do, he says, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do it, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Pastoring a church, do it with your heart because you're doing it for the Lord, because he's the one who called you. You don't get frustrated by the comments and the things that people say. Listen, I'm always the subject of criticism. Always. People are always criticizing me. If you can't handle criticism, you don't need to be in the ministry. Amen? Well, I can't believe he said what he said. I know, it beats me. I heard him say one time, next thing you know, you're having a pastor sandwich. I can't believe he said that. See, every word that proceeds out of my mouth, I'm judged on it. How would you like to live your life that way? Amen? So you have to do the same thing I do. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Verse number 12. He calls us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The order of these is interesting. Worship team, you can come back and join me here. The order of these is interesting. The hope is first. Then comes the afflictions. And then the resolve is prayer. Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit here. Not a better example of persistence other than Paul the Apostle. He said, man, you beat me to near death several times. I've been shipwrecked. I spent nights and days out in the deep. I've been naked and left for dead. He wrote all that down in Corinthians. And he said, besides all that, I got the heart of the church on my mind. Paul struggled. He says, I'm already being poured out. He told this to Timothy. He said, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. He said, I've run this course. I've run this race. And he said, I'm looking forward because there's a crown of righteousness that awaits me. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. It's not easy to keep your spiritual fervor. It's really not. You got to work at it. It's a discipline. Amen? It's a discipline. Sometimes you just say, man, I don't want to go to worship rehearsal. No, you don't. But if you want God to manifest in what you do when you hit this platform, guess what you do? You rehearse. You come in here with just the team and you rehearse. I don't want to study for this kid's message. I don't even really want to do it. No, you really do. The devil doesn't want you to do it. See? I don't want to greet. I don't even feel happy myself. I don't want to stand at the door and say, welcome. No, yes, you do. The devil doesn't want you to be happy, especially on Saturday and Sunday, because you're assigned to the ministry of hospitality. He wants you to stand there like a sourpuss and look like you've lost your best friend. Keep your spiritual fervor. Be joyful in your hope. Be patient when those afflictions come. And be faithful in prayer. In my own afflictions recently, dealing with this whole COVID thing, my wife can tell you, even yesterday, answering the phone, who is it? Pastor's calling. Pastor's calling. I thought you were off on Saturday. Yeah, I am, but I'll take a call once in a while from a pastor. I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going to deal with him. Sometimes I take a call. And she hears me. She hears me when I'm talking to him. And she hears the things that I say to them. And sometimes she looks at me and she goes, careful, careful, because it's frustrating. It's frustrating. But God sends you helpers, helpmates for that. Be careful. You're being a little firm here, okay? I've told you the story. My wife and I are sitting at tables talking to people. Sometimes I feel a hand on my leg, and she ain't being fresh either. She's saying, be careful. Be careful. You're being a little firm here. That's what helpmates do. Amen. Paul says, I want you to be joyful in your hope. I want you to be patient in your affliction. I want you to be patient during this COVID time. I want you to be patient during these seasons of injustice and racial tension and political wars. I want you to be patient. And I want you to be faithful in prayer. I heard an old song as I walked through my own challenges with this season. I heard an old song. Some of you probably never heard this, but a lot of you have. It was an old song by Andre Crouch. The title of it is Through It All. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places and I've seen a lot of faces, and there have been times I felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was his own. Verse 3, so I thank God for the mountains and I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, then I wouldn't know he could solve them. And I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. It says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And that's what God is saying to us today. Listen, I've called you to man the fire. What are you talking about, Pastor? The fire that he placed inside of you. Man it. Don't let it slip away. Don't let it slip away. Listen, it's important for you to be here. It's important. Not for me. I've showed you during COVID for 8 weeks, I preached to an empty building. I'm going to preach whether you're here or not. It's not important for me that you be here. It's important for you. It's important for every one of you. Well, I left my wife home. She was laying on the sofa. I wanted to come. She said, no, I'm not going. No, get her up. Say, come on, let's go. Well, I came by myself. My husband and kids, they stayed home. No, get them up. Get them here. Well, we're not having kids church right now. I've had that telephone call. Y'all having kids church? In other words, I don't want to sit there with my kids on the pew. I want to send them upstairs so I can enjoy the service. Shame on you. Shame on you. We're doing everything. These guys, don't you think that putting that together is a few minutes? They spend hours each week trying to make sure the kids' ministry is intact. And they've never once let up. They're preparing bags for your kids to have so they got little things to play with while they're sitting here. You know what they're doing? They're keeping their spiritual fervor. They're being patient in affliction. Okay? And then the final thing is to be faithful in prayer. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Well, you know, we're in COVID. We're not having altar services. Really? No, come to this altar. Come to this altar. Because there's one thing to sit in your seat, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, and he's laid his finger on your heart, and there's just something about just getting out of your seat and just coming just for a few moments and standing in his presence. There's just something about that. The altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place where you lay yourself on the altar and you say, God, here I am. I want to keep my spiritual fervor. Please, Lord, help me man the fire. Help me maintain the walk. Now, if you're here this morning and maybe there's an item of business you need to take care of first. How many of you are here? You say, Pastor, I just need to make things right between me and Jesus first. Is there anyone here? Come on, quickly. Raise your hand. I need to make things right between me and the Lord Jesus. Maybe you don't have that peace in your heart. If your heart's beating right now a little stronger, that's a good indication you need to raise your hand. Anyone here at all, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make things right between me and Jesus. Anyone at all? Anyone? Maybe you need to man the fire and maintain the spiritual walk in a different way, and God's speaking to you today. Just come as they begin to sing. Just come and stand in His presence for a few minutes. Lift your hands and love Him. Have a divine connection between you and the Father through the Holy Spirit. Someone will come and pray with you. Come on, just come as they sing. Stand, would you? Our spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You help us to be patient in affliction Keep our prayer life intact and faithfulness. You cause us, God, not just to be natural, but to be supernatural. We give ourselves to you afresh and anew this day to do in us as you desire. Equip us, God. Nurture us. Encourage us. Inspire us. Help us to be the agent that you've called out into a frustrated world to speak a kind word, to do a kind deed, to put a smile on our face, and to make a difference. Because we choose to live transformed lives. Transformational living. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord today. Hallelujah. 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 Be sure and share the broadcast. Get the message out there. Also, our kids' message comes on right after we go off the air here. The kids' message comes on. Share that with people that you know that have small kids. We'd appreciate that greatly. Join us, would you? Fasting and prayer. CSIC40days.com. Have a great week. God bless you. Thank you.